Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
Craig Counsell, I've enjoyed the fact that this time of year, the weather has turned perfect.
It's always lovely at Wrigley on the weekend, man. That's the place to be on a Friday afternoon.
Listen, I'm not going to be there on Saturday. My son's having a bar mitzvah. Would you like to blow off the game and come to my son's bar mitzvah? Consider this your official invite 3 days in advance.
I appreciate that. That's very nice of you.
Yeah.
You got bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah in Illinois. Yeah.
Say that again.
Bar mitzvah.
It's not bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah.
Fun!
You want to come?
He's got a game to manage.
Well,
it's pretty important.
Tommy could do it.
I've got to return some videotapes.
I guess I was probably returning videotapes. I have to return some videotapes.
Tommy could take care of it.
See, I see what you're trying to do. Trying to drive a wedge between me and Craig because I felt like his pitching coach deserved an opportunity as a manager. I see what this is. Old sports radio trick. Craig, as always, we appreciate you. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Craig.
Coach manager Craig Counsell.
Sometimes I think he hates us.
Please, I need help. I've already talked to the other rabbis. Please, it's not about Danny's bar mitzvah. My boy Danny, this coming Shabbos, very joyous event. That's all fine. It's more about myself. I've had quite a bit of tsuris lately. Marital problems, professional, you name it. This is not a frivolous request. This is I've tried to be a serious man, you know? Tell him I need help. Please, I need help.
The rabbi is busy.
He didn't look busy.
He's thinking.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Boy, do we have a show planned for you. There's a lot of stuff that we've got to get done, and we have to do it in very little time. No, we're kidding. We actually have a full boat show today, so we're going to get a lot of stuff done, including Dave Wannstedt is going to join us at 5 o'clock. That's definitely something that you'll want to be here for. You'll get Coach's thoughts on what happened and what will happen coming up. We are also going to do a Bears at Two Words with Mark Rohde at 4, and Olin Krutz is going to join us to break down some tape at 3 o'clock. Jarrett Payton will join us in about 15 minutes. Alex is here. Tanny's here. I'm at a different microphone. That man is Matt Spiegel.
What an interesting week it has been as the Caleb reaction and the reaction to the reaction has kept coming. It's kind of a fascinating microcosm of the take-a-sphere, isn't it? And you're relearning in week one of the football season, Lawrence, who to believe, who to trust, who uses sources, who looks at tape, and what you can listen to and what you can get lost in if you're not careful.
Who cares about journalism? You find that stuff out too.
There's a lot of that going on as well. And it's crazy to see that happening. And the calmer we can stay, the better off we are. Now that we're not one day removed from the game, I think it's all a lot easier to stay calm.
What's crazy about it to me, Spiegs, is that you know the Bears fans themselves, they do crave the national spotlight. Like they'll talk about, hey, why aren't such and such talking about us? This is what it looks like when it's not great. It's not a lot of fun for everybody when this is going on.
Yeah, because you can smell what is real and what is just contrarian for convenience and what is just, you know.
So what is pandering.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can smell it, and then it starts to get messy. So days like this, we get to refocus with jam-packed stuff, and we'll turn the page, like you mentioned. But we've been talking a lot about Richard Hightower, Lawrence, and you brought him up, and I don't think you can be hard enough on that guy for the performance of the special teams in week one. And he apparently talked about the kickoff that went, you know, into the end zone.
But not out of bounds.
Exactly.
Which is what they needed to have happen.
All right, here's Richard Hightower, H-Mac.
How's everyone?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What you got?
when you're deciding whether to put it through the back of the end zone or kick it out of bounds, what are the factors that you weigh?
Yeah, I think Coach already addressed that with you all. So, I mean, I'm just going to reiterate what he said because it's the truth. We wanted the ball to go out the back of the end zone, and that didn't happen.
He also said that, in retrospect, he should have had the ball kicked out of bounds.
Correct, yeah.
What's the discussion like when you guys are—
Yeah, when we think we have a discussion, it's communication between coaches and players, and we communicate. We thought that we could kick it out the back. The player thought he could kick it out the back. If that doesn't happen, then we go to the next option.
Richard, is there any like discussion between like Torrey potentially kicking it out, or is that did not even come to mind?
Yeah, that's discussed. We always work with Torrey on that stuff, but that was not an option right there.
And just to clarify, there's the same like kicking it short of the landing zone has the same. What is the stipulation there?
The difference?
Yeah.
So 5 yard difference.
So look, they trusted the player. And you got to know better. Somebody's got to be the adult. I mean, Cairo's a captain. Cairo's a made guy. He's been extended a couple times, right? And Cairo is a solid, trusted vet.
He's a very good kicker.
He's a very good kicker and a solid, trusted vet. But
this is not his strength.
No. And if
figuratively and literally.
And you want him to be self-aware, but it's like going out there to take out a starting pitcher. Starting pitcher is going to think he can keep going. That's part of his MO. You got to be the adult and say, you can't. Thank you. Appreciate you. Move on. For HT not even to address that. Oof.
I also don't like him hiding behind Ben Johnson on it. You know, you're real talkative when things are going right or that you're the flavor of the week. But when things aren't going well and there is a spotlight on the job that you should have done, now you want to, oh, well, yeah, whatever Coach said is, then why are you here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Coach already addressed that.
Yeah.
Why are you here then? If you can't add perspective to what it is that we're talking about with your specialty, because that's ideally why you are talking to the people in front of you,
yeah,
is because you have a specialty that you're supposed to be really good at. And don't hide now. Don't try to hide in the background like Homer Simpson in the bushes.
I know.
When things went badly for you.
Yeah, I mean, he's just so used to being the good soldier and letting the head coach have his way. We had some of that last year.
But you can say all of those things, and still Declan Doyle says stuff like that, and he still can give us expertise on his job as offensive coordinator. With Richard Hightower, it's like, oh, all right, well, let me do my 5 minutes of comedy bits with everybody instead of actually talking about something that mattered, that was material to the game being won and lost. Your side of the ball, your phase of the ball failed miserably on Monday night. So it's not really time for yuck-yucks and stuff up there.
I went to the Bears website to watch Caleb Williams, who spoke late last night, and they didn't include this, which was at the beginning of his presser, him explaining why he was delayed by almost 4 hours.
First question, why are you late?
Got some ball to handle, short week, and getting after it.
So there you go. So that's Caleb and why he was late. Two things I know we wanted to get to, Lawrence. One is a little clarity on the late throw to the left side, well out of bounds when DJ Moore was wide open and waving his arm. What happened on that play and that route?
Monday night, you had the touchdown drive. There's a shot on that play. He took a deep shot down the left sideline to DJ toward the end zone. What was your view on that play? Did DJ convert the route, or what was your view of how that unfolded?
Yeah, so that unfolded, and you know, DJ ended up converting. The safety was tucked inside, and just ended up not being on the same page with, you know, the ball and things like that. And he ended up doing a good job, you know, popping his hand up in the air and showing me, and just got to deliver him a good ball, probably a line drive next time, and just get the ball in his hands as fast as possible. And let him go, you know, be special from there.
How do you get in sync on that?
Yeah, that's just complete reps that, you know, you get throughout, you know, camp, season, and then just obviously communication and open communication between each other.
I feel good about that now. I learned a little something this week about the waving the arm, and that means conversion, and the adjustment is something that Caleb needs to do better, and he says it right there.
I want smart players. That was a smart play by DJ Moore.
Yep.
To see where he could get himself open easily and get an explosive play. This is super simple. You got to throw the ball to the guy.
Just throw it right to the guy.
I don't even mean like that particular play. Like the job is you throw the ball to the guy. That's all it is. Like we can try and break it down and all this stuff and try to figure out, but this is literally, hey, that guy's open.
Don't you think
throw it to him?
He's guessing on the route that he thinks DJ is gonna run. Just throw it to him.
When the guy puts his hand up,
hello,
throw it to him.
Yeah,
if he's got him, he's got him. Just throw it. Just
I don't know.
Be confident and throw it.
I have a touch of patience for it. You can tell me I'm soft for having it, but on that one, I got some patience.
I don't have patience on that. That's just football. Like that's flag football. That's 10U football. Oh, can you throw it to the guy? Because if you can't, then you don't play that position.
It's football, mister.
If you can't throw it to the open guy, then you're not the quarterback of the team. So I don't. There's a lot that I'm going to give Caleb patience with.
And interesting.
He was very honest that he missed the throw. And yeah, maybe you have to change the way that you throw it. But I'm not going to give him, man, he was confused. The guy threw his hand up. You've worked with this guy before. It's not a new guy.
It's true.
The job is just throw it to the guy.
See? We're having
to the guy over there.
Honest reactions about what is worth patience and what is not.
There's a lot that is worth patience, but that's not it. Just throw it to the guy. The other thing is what's Caleb doing when plays break down? And I thought this was an interesting part of the press conference on him explaining kind of what his thought process is of scrambling.
Try and stay ahead of the sticks and help the team stay on the field. That's big, being able to have possession, timing. When I broke the pocket, it was get vertical and get down, protect myself. If I saw something, we had one to Rome. If I saw something, one to, I think it was Colson also. If I saw something, hit it. If not, be decisive, get downhill, protect the team, protect the football, and things like that.
Caleb Ben said that.
How long does it take for you to understand how comfortable you can be in the pocket and when to get out?
Yeah, I think that comes with multiple reps with those guys. And just being able to feel, exactly when and where, and just being able to find it. I think it's something that people don't realize or understand is being back there. You tend to realize where the O-linemen, necessarily not weakness, but, their typical spot of where they may give a little bit of pressure or not. And so it's just being able to find that out, with our group and where we're at. And we're figuring that out here, pretty soon. We got a bunch of games coming up, and we're excited about it. I'm excited about it, and the guys did great up there.
He decided he didn't want to make, he wanted to make sure that he wasn't bus tossing.
Yes.
But he was talking about how you don't realize it, like we don't realize it when we're back there, but there are weaknesses and there's stuff. He knows he can't tuck and run as much as he did.
It's kind of interesting though, because it does seem that the risk aversion thing is still in there, which is probably good. Instead of taking the chance, go, hey, I can make a positive play. So let me go make a positive play until things clear up for me.
And I think
it's just being able to find that out, with our group. And
Jesus, Leisure.
Jason dropping his laptop in the middle of the thing.
I'm gonna go with that being Larry Mayer dropping his laptop.
Or the tape player. It sounded like an old school cassette player, didn't it?
I was there.
Yes, it did. Was it the Ghost of Les? Listen to that. It sounds like a big old clunky cassette recorder.
It's just being able to find that out with our group.
Oh, my God.
Damage. Danger.
It's bad. Oh, all right, we need to take a break because we're going to talk with Jarrett Payton. We'll get his thoughts on everything, including they were captains. The Payton family were captains on Monday night. So we'll ask him about all of that atmosphere next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
How you doing?
Hey,
how you doing?
Going?
Jarrett Payton.
I always feel smarter when I get off the phone with you guys. Appreciate it.
Former NFL running back.
And Payton will hit Pater. Touchdown, Titans.
College football national champion.
Jarrett Payton, one of my favorite teammates, because he knew exactly what it was to be great. And we needed guys like him, where Walter Payton was his dad. He lived under that shadow. When it was his time to step up, he did.
Sports anchor for WGN.
240 every other week. Jarrett Payton.
How you doing, sir?
JP, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Smish right there, right?
And then on
how long
the
before
that-
he mentions his picture? Oh, with Taylor Swift. How long before Jarrett mentioned to be here? He had the picture.
It's going
to
be the first thing. Yeah, first talk.
He'll be in the wedding, probably.
I was wondering if he gets invited to the wedding.
He's trying on Twitter, I think.
He should.
Why not? All he can say is no.
The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Not only is Jarrett Payton joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, but Sunday, Circa Sports Illinois and The Score are going to be at Jarrett Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will host our pregame show from 9 until noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Detroit. The postgame show will be streamed exclusively on YouTube because we got Cubs. So it'll be on YouTube and Twitch, but they will be at Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. What's up, JP?
Man, what's going on, fellas? Long time no talk. Thank you for the shout out for Flagship on the Fox. I will be stopping by early in the morning to say hello to the fellas. Probably not grab a drink because it's a little bit early for my liking, but yeah, I'll definitely be in the house. Spiegs, Lawrence, missed you guys.
Hey, man, nice to talk to you, Jarrett. Welcome back. And this Sunday, I'm looking at pictures of Flagship on the Fox. Looks like an outstanding place to be for your classic NFL Sunday with the Bears involved, but a whole bunch of screens on every other game. We're getting our bodies back to the normalcy. It's a weird week to start with the Monday night game, but let's go back to Monday night, man. 40th anniversary of the 85 team. I was thinking of your dad. I can't imagine what that was like being there, being captains, being part of it, and seeing all those former teammates there. That must have been intense, Jarrett.
Yeah, it truly was, Speed, because I'm gonna give you just off a rip the beginning when my mom found out. She's been here all summer because she comes back in the summer to watch my kids play sports. They're in playing every sport that you can imagine. So she's here and she gets a call from the Bears. She didn't know I was home. So I just hear her screaming my name and I run out my room. I'm like, Mom, what's going on? She's like, the Bears want us to be captains. She's like, I'm shaking. I got tears in my eyes. So it meant everything to us. And shout out to the Bears, the whole McCaskey family, for having us involved in that manner. But also just to be able to see all my dad's old teammates, all my uncles, talking to them and them looking at me like, man, you getting old. I'm like, well, I'm not going to say you're getting old, but yeah, I'm getting a little bit older. But to get hugs to everybody, to see everyone, and for all those guys to be together, it was a special time. But to sit there on the sidelines, to be the honorary captains, and to see my mom out on the field when they were doing the presentation at halftime, and she got the Lombardi in her hand. And you guys know, you've been to Soldier Field, you've been inside that press box. The etiquette is no cheering, right?
Yep.
As soon as my mom lifted up that trophy and everybody was eating their foods at halftime, and they said, Connie Payton, the place went crazy. Wow. If you guys would have seen me, I was clapping my hands. I was like, let's go, baby. Let's go. That's my mom's right there. Everybody looked over at me. And it was just a cool moment. And I tweeted it out that it's one of those moments you wish that 34 was here, man, because I could only imagine the uproar that would have happened if he would have had his hand on that Lombardi.
Yeah, we're not going to report you to the football police for cheering for your mom. Like, that's a real thing. So it's all good. What did you think of the game itself?
You know what, Lawrence? You know, we've had these conversations leading up to the season. I was happy with the output and looking at the score, you know, going into the fourth quarter. I just knew that there was issues. The defense was doing what they needed to do, holding up their end of the bargain early, making J.J. McCarthy feel uncomfortable in the pocket, out on that football field. So it was making me feel good. It was it was I was just wondering, when is the offense going to pick it up? When are they going to pick it up? Because at some point, the defense is going to get tired, and that's what we saw in that fourth quarter. It was like, all right, we're here. We've done our job. We'll keep trying to do it, but we need you guys on the offensive side to hold up your end of the bargain. And, you know, watching it live is – I'm not a big fan of watching football live. I like watching on TV. It's just easier for me to be able to rewind stuff, to go back. And so once I started watching the tape and watching the All 22, there was just the whole game. There was times where that everybody has reported, that has talked about on Twitter, wherever, guys that were wide open that should have been hit. There was times where people just weren't open. There was times where things just broke down, sometimes in the pocket for Caleb, where, you know, he had to get out of the pocket. There was times where I saw him get out of the pocket when he needed to be able to get upfield to get first downs and to extend drives. So I saw a mixed bag of an offense that still seems to be a work in progress. And a lot of the stuff with Caleb that we came into the season hoping that was going to be either fixed or he was going to get better at, you can still see that there's a lot of work to be done on his end. And I expected that, because as you grow as a football player, it's just like when you're dealing with your kids on a daily basis, you know, and just people, they got bad habits, and you try to get them as a parent to get out of those bad habits and create good habits. Caleb over the years has some bad habits in his game that he has to be coached out of. And I knew that wasn't going to happen just right off the rip. It was going to take some time. And I know, just looking at the TV copy of Ben Johnson's face of how annoyed he was, I think that was at the whole entire offense. That was guys maybe not running the right routes. That was guys not getting open and fighting to get open like they should. That's them not getting the running game going. And that, to me, probably is the biggest issue, because the offense seemed out of sync and there was no true rhythm in the play calls, but also just in watching the game and how it was played by the guys on the offense.
Jarrad Payton, what would you change about this running game, either scheme or personnel or calls?
Spiegs, you can't. DeAndre Swift, love him to death. Love him to death. I love what he's all about. But what they need, they need to switch it up. If you want someone to run in between the tackles, get you those tough yards, I don't know if he's that dude for you for this offense. I just don't. He is great with what you could add. He adds into the running back room. But if you're trying to control the game on the ground, I just don't think that's his game. And that's not a knock on him. That's just the watching. He's a guy that once you get into space or you get to that second level, that's where he takes over and he gives you that opportunity, because he's still got the speed and he can, once he gets to that second level, that's where he's dangerous. It's getting to that second level that's tough for him. And I would love to see, you have to go with what you got right now, but to me, Kyle Manunga, I would like to see a little bit more of him going into week two, seeing what he could do as well to be maybe that, I know it's, what is it? Stonick and Knuckles. I'm not trying to compare them to, you know, what Ben previously had in Detroit, but you got to have some balance. And to me, the only way to balance an offense that we're looking at right now that is at the beginning stages, that is a work in progress, or to take pressure off of Caleb Williams, is to find a way to establish the run. This is not rocket science. You have to be able to do that, and that controls the game. And you saw that with, even if it wasn't for 100 yards, you saw that with the Vikings in the fourth quarter. They found a way to establish the run. Defense has to switch up what they're doing, which changes what you can do on the outside with your receivers. And especially when you have a guy like Justin Jefferson, that changes the game as well, if not the best in the league. So it's just a little bit of getting 4 or 5 yards. 3.1 yards per carry is just not going to do it. I like the 17. I was thinking 17 to 20 runs out of from one running back. DeAndre Swift had 17. I think you have to pound the run game and figure out a way. I like the scheme. I like what they're doing. I tweeted it, just a little bit more outside zone for him, if that's the case. If you're going to keep DeAndre Swift in there because it gives him an opportunity to kind of find his way through to get to that second level.
JP, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. This is going to be fun. Jarrett Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, Sunday morning starting at 9 o'clock. Our guy's going to be there. Mully, Patrick, and Olin are going to do the pregame show from there. It's going to be great. It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. JP, thanks, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jarrett. You know, we brought that up. I brought that up in the offseason like long ago. Like, all right, if you're going to keep DeAndre Swift, then he's got to be your Sonic. And then you got to draft or go sign somebody to be your Knuckles.
Uh-huh.
And they asked DeAndre Swift to do everything, to do the inside stuff and the outside stuff.
I am still shocked at them not addressing running back, and I know that they drafted a guy in the seventh round,
but they didn't use him.
But they also can't keep him on the field because he can't pass protect.
They've had all offseason to prepare for
Spiegs. I'm with you
for,
on this.
For what DeAndre Swift's limitations are, and they did not. And here we are in week two talking about it.
Yep, we can ask Olin about that. He's going to join us with his perspective on the game and what he thinks about what's going to happen this week in Detroit. Don't go anywhere. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on the Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.